And we're going to look at one word, verse particularly. I'll give you a preview. Jim will pop it up on there. It's the verse that we started with, and our theme this year has been space and place. It's glory to God in the highest places, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. And we'll leave that up for the moment. And the context of that, of course, you'll know well, is the passage where we read just in Luke's gospel how the angel and then the army of angels came to the shepherds with the good news of Jesus. Verse 8. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in a manger. We're focusing in on this verse, and particularly the second part of this verse, the song that the angels sang as they announced good news to the shepherds. And I guess if we started all our prayer times this next year with praying this and singing this and praying through the implications of it, we'd have something to pray every time we actually went to God. It's an amazing little couplet, as it were. And of course it mentions both space and place, as we've been thinking about, both the highest heavens and the earth. Just thinking about this couplet, which is just two things joined together. First of all, they are a great contrast. They're in parallel to one another, as I said. Glory to God in the highest places and peace on the earth to those with whom God is pleased. It's just a really nice little couplet, and it makes us lift our heads in praise and stay thoroughly earthed, which is how we should be as Christians, with a vision of God and a vision of God's kingdom in the earth. Secondly, the couplet is both a doxology and a blessing. Now, something is a doxology when it gives glory to God, doxa, glory. So it's a doxology. So often we end a service, or within a service, we have a doxology of praise giving glory to God. And it's a blessing that the angels are actually singing. I think it's a prophetic blessing, actually. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. So both a doxology and a blessing. It's worth learning, isn't it? If perhaps we can't think of what to pray, or we're embarrassed about praying out loud, start with this one. It's a good one. Can't think, but you want to express praise, you want to pray for other people, well then in a service or in a little group or in your own time, just say this: glory to God in the highest heaven, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. It's not bad, is it? And as you start to use that, I believe it unlocks us in praise. And we're beginning to see that, but we need in our own lives to see more of that so that God gets more glory. Particularly also, this couplet, this doxology and blessing, is tied into the coming of Jesus into the world. It is a general statement, but this is tied into the coming of Jesus. Tied into the coming of Jesus, the incarnation. The angel's song is not just a doxology and a blessing, but it's really a description or the result of the results or the consequences of the birth of Jesus. It's a description. In the first statement of the couplet, God is attributed with glory, glory to God. And the glory of God, of course, is his visible majesty, which is based on his character shining out. So God is holy, and that shines out. God is love, and that shines out. These, all of the attributes, the character of God, shine out and make up the glory of God. It's as though that great character sort of hums and zooms out into the universe, because it's the purest expression of God, his glory. His visible majesty is based upon his character. But in the coming of Jesus Christ, God is glorifying himself. Didn't he say that? I have glorified myself and I will glorify myself. So in the coming of Jesus, God is glorifying himself. He is expressing visibly himself. Jesus took on flesh so that we could see him. Jesus is the expression of the Father's glory. We've just been singing about that. Jesus is the Father's joy. He is the Father's glory. Glory and majesty belong to God. Angels and human beings can experience and acknowledge this. The glory of God is revealed explicitly and visibly in his Son becoming flesh. And that is what we have been rejoicing in this Christmas. But also, the blessing of peace is to be upon those who please God. And the blessing, though, notice, is prefaced with the statement that glory needs to be given to God in the heavenly heights. And those who give God glory will experience the peace that God gives. Georgina, can I just suggest you ask the girls if they want to join the other kids, because they'll be bored out of their mind if they're out here. Just get them to join perhaps a group in the lounge, George. That's great, thanks. Those who give God glory will experience the peace that God gives. Now, this statement, depending on the translation you use, can sometimes be a little bit unclear. And more modern translations on this are actually better than the Authorized Version, the King James Version, which seems to suggest that all people will experience the peace of God, whether they acknowledge God or not. But the best manuscripts make it plain that it is those men and women who please God who experience the peace of God. And those people who do not please God do not experience the peace of God. That is their experience. Until we come to know God, we do not know the peace of God. The promise of peace or welfare is for those who please God, and not just everybody. And more recent translations make that very explicit. It says in the Good News translation that we've read, "And peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." Or in the New International Version it says, "And on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And in the Message it says, "Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." So it is those who please God who will experience the peace of God. So often we ask for God's peace, and there's nothing wrong in doing that. But sometimes we deny ourselves the peace of God by actually living our lives in a way which isn't in harmony with God. It isn't in harmony with God, and so we don't experience God's peace in certain situations. This army or host of angels announced peace. It's amazing, isn't it? An army, God's army. But what they're announcing is not war on humanity, but peace for humanity. They're calling people back to want to please God. The angels are saying that God will bring peace for men and women on whom his favour rests. It is those whom God chooses rather than those who choose God. The blessing is for God to give. We do not deserve it, but God does choose to give his peace, as we know and we'll hear through Jesus Christ, to the disciples. God does choose to give his peace to his disciples. Those who please God will receive his blessing. And who are they? How do we please God? Well, it is those, basically, as far as I can see in my reading of Scripture, those who obey the Father who are pleasing to God. Those that do what is pleasing to God, those are the ones that God is pleased with. So at Jesus' baptism, as he's learning to walk in obedience, you hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with him." It's lovely, isn't it? The northern accent, "I'm well pleased with him." Because he was walking in obedience. And that is such a simple lesson, but I wonder if we say it often enough. God calls us to be obedient to him, to make Jesus our King. And that is what God asks for us. It is obedience, and it involves choices and discipline and living a life to please God. And it is to these people that peace is given. And peace here can refer, I believe in this case, refers to that peace between God and human beings that is actually made through Jesus Christ. This is why peace comes, because Jesus has come. Peace means peace between God and human beings. The healing of the estrangement caused by human selfishness and sin, that is still the message of Christianity, that human beings and God are estranged. They are not born into a relationship of friendship, although God desperately wants to be friends with us. But we are estranged until we accept what Jesus has done for us. And it is that healing between God and us, which is only possible through Christ, that brings peace. John the Baptist described as the one who could lead people in the path of peace. In other words, he would lead them to Jesus. He would lead them to Jesus and point out Jesus, it says in Luke 1. And peace, as we know in Scripture, doesn't just mean there isn't a war going on. It doesn't just mean there isn't strife. It means so much more than that. Peace sums up the whole of the blessing of God, the welfare that he has for human beings. It's the blessing that's associated with the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Saviour. And the word peace and salvation overlap almost completely. So we read in the Old Testament about the Messiah, when he came, that he would bring peace. So the scripture we read in Isaiah 9 actually says this, that a child is born to us, and that he is called not just Mighty God or Eternal Father, but Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. And there you get the hint. As the kingdom of God grows, so does the peace of God. It is as the rule of God grows that the peace of God extends into people's lives and into communities. As God's ways are lived out, as he rules as king, then the peace of God is experienced. And if nations and individuals do not live under the lordship, the kingship of Jesus Christ, then there always will be tremendous lack of personal peace, but also dispeace, strife and struggle, tension, injustice, difficulty, exploitation within the nation as well. Even in the prophecy of Micah, that tiny little scripture, again the promise is of a Messiah, a Saviour that will bring peace. It says there, in his people will live in safety, because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace. But it's this special kind of peace between God and people. Peace extends as the rule of God extends. If somebody asks you, how do you get the peace of God? The answer is by making God king. By making Jesus king in your life. By living as God is pleased. The peace of God comes to men and women on earth who please him. God bestows peace upon those who please him, those who obey him, who let him rule in their lives. And it really shouldn't be that hard, but we do struggle to let it happen, don't we? We do struggle. We go back to our old ways. You know, the peace of God can be present, as we often say, even when circumstances around us are in great conflict, tremendous conflict, personal conflict, national conflict. That is what the Bible teaches. A nation may even be at war or at war with itself, but the people of God who live in a way that pleases God can know the peace of God. Families in struggle under great difficulty can know the peace of God. Families where there is chronic illness or great difficulty can find the peace of God within that situation. It isn't easy. I'm not pretending for a minute it is. And I think that was hinted at in some of the words that came to us, didn't it? Even though there's difficulty, yet God is with us. I love this little quote by Caird. It just says, "Man's true peace is realized by the establishment of God's kingdom." So when we pray and work for the kingdom of God, we are praying for the peace of God to be experienced. But really, you know, we cannot have the peace of God without letting God be king. We want the blessings, don't we? We want the peace, but we really obtain that peace of God by choosing for Jesus to be king, step by step by step. Those who oppose the kingdom of God and God's values and that which is pleasing to God inhibit the experience of people on the earth. So those people who are despotic rulers, those people that are harsh masters and teachers or corrupt, will inhibit the kingdom of God, will inhibit the peace of God. They will inflict great difficulty upon other people. Those who oppose the kingdom of God disrupt the peace of God. And sadly, peace on earth is not the experience of most of humanity. I used to be so concerned about these scriptures as a young person and young Christian and say, "Where is it, Lord? Where is the peace of God? When will the swords be beaten into plowshares? When will true peace come?" Of course, we know ultimately that will be at the return of Christ, but yet we work for the kingdom of God now so that people may live in peace. Not only are there wars and rumours of wars, but great injustice and corruption. But those who are pleasing to God, for them there is peace. And they can share that peace with other people in your place of work. Work is stressful, isn't it? My work is stressful. Your work is stressful. I just look at you and know. But you need the peace of God in that workplace. And you can know the peace of God as you live in a way that pleases God in the hardest of circumstances. School or college may be stressful, but don't get stressed. Get blessed with the peace of God. You know, I believe in many ways Jesus is much more a peacemaker than a pacifist. He's a peacemaker rather than a peacekeeper. He's active in working for peace. He just doesn't sit back passively. He became the peacemaker by laying down his life and healing the estrangement, the battle between God and humanity. And the majority of the world may still be unaware that Jesus came to heal that rift. Even though they've celebrated Christmas, maybe, they may not really understand that Jesus came so that we might have peace with God, even at times of great conflict. And that is the gospel. And it will not change. And we have to express it. Until the kingship of God is accepted, there will be no inner peace for many people. So peace comes from being united with Jesus Christ, says John in his gospel. "I am at peace because I am united with Jesus Christ," John 16:33. And we know the peace of God because of this relationship. And so if we don't keep that relationship up, then yes, the peace does disappear. It goes very quickly. Jesus himself warned that to be faithful to him may bring us into conflict and tension. If you read in Matthew 10, he says it may even bring us into conflict and tension with our nearest and dearest family. He did not come necessarily to bring peace, but a sword. To keep Jesus as king can mean conflict and difficulty. Do read that passage in Matthew 10. It's very telling. He spoke of introducing a sword, a metaphorical sword, rather than peace. And Jesus knew how easy it was for disciples to get scared, especially after he'd been killed and they thought their lives might be at risk. And every time he greets them in John's Gospel, he says four words: peace be with you. Peace be with you. He says it again and again because that's what we need to hear. And of course, the peace came with Jesus. The peace came with Jesus. So he was literally reminding them of that. And he says that his peace is totally different from what the world can give. We say it's qualitatively different. He gives a different kind of peace, a deeper peace, a peace that will last us in difficulty and distress and anguish and struggle and hardship. The peace of God can sustain us through all of those. And God is the source of our peace. You know, I really want to be calmer than a Buddhist who can meditate. I don't mean that competitively. I've got many Buddhist friends that meditate. I really think I should be calmer. But so often they beat me at it. They're more tranquil. We need to stop and realise it's our Jesus that has established peace with God and us. We need to stop and focus upon Jesus Christ. We need to say glory to God in the highest heaven and peace to all men and women on earth who are pleasing. Jesus said, I give it to you, my disciples, not like the world gives or anything else gives. It's qualitatively different because I have dealt with your struggle, your selfishness, your sin, your problems. You can know my peace. And it's something we have to learn and relearn. And we're to be a people of peace, a peace church, to live in peace with one another in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. And as we seek God's kingdom, we will know the peace of God. Because it's in seeking God's kingdom, in seeking to please God, that the peace of God is experienced, in letting Jesus be Lord at all times, whatever the outward circumstances. So we think about the year ahead. God only knows what we will face, but he does know the future, and he has got us in his hands. And for those who please God, there is peace through Christ. So as a prayer, perhaps we can pray, may all men and women on earth please God and so experience his peace. It's a different way of praying, isn't it? It's praying that people will want to please God and experience his peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that through Jesus we know something of your peace, and you have so much more for us to experience. We thank you that you have dealt with conflict between us. You have begun to change our heart from seeking to live selfishly and sinfully. You're giving us a new heart. And we pray, Lord, that we would live to please you. And whatever our circumstances, we may spend time with you, seeking your kingdom, your will to be done. And we pray for our fellow men and women on the earth, that they may be pleasing to you and experience your peace. We pray for Jesus to open the eyes through the Holy Spirit of many people this year. We pray for nations in great conflict. We pray pray for Kenya today, that the elections may continue and continue well. We pray for the people of Pakistan following the assassination of Benazir Bhutto. We pray for calm and for the peace of God. For those who live to please you, may they know your peace. And we pray for those in positions of authority to move with wisdom and care. We pray, Lord God, that you would subdue evil. And we pray, gracious Lord, that those that know you may cry out to you in prayer for peace in that land. And we pray, Lord God, that we may seek the kingdom of God in this land also, that your kingdom may come and that people may live to please God. And we praise you for your peace, Jesus. Only you give that peace. And we thank you and pray for one another that we may live in the good of the peace of God. In Jesus' name.